Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Own Your Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Miranda Von Fricken. Today is a very special episode. I'm celebrating my 5-year anniversary full time in business. Woo! If I had my confetti cannons with me, I'd be popping them right now. I did actually celebrate with a fabulous photo shoot today, including my tutu and a big old number 5 balloon. You will see that soon. It's funny. So when I told people that I hit my 5-year anniversary, people were shocked. They were like, wait, what? I feel like you've been a business owner forever. And yes and no. So I had been a 9-to-5er up until the pandemic, right? 2020, really early on 2020, actually January. So right before the pandemic, I was laid off for the last time. Now, if you're counting, that was my 4th layoff in a matter of about 5 years. So clearly I was over it at that point. I had already done the side hustle thing. Technically, when I wrote out my timeline to prepare for this episode, I started actually doing free speaking or coaching or writing resumes as a part of my 9-to-5 life back in like the early 2000s. I had been on LinkedIn since 2007. I did like one of my first keynotes at a college in like 2009. And so, but I didn't get paid for this stuff. They would like give me lunch or they would, you know, I don't know, put me out somewhere, like put me in a flyer because there was social media, but it really wasn't like huge back then. And so they would write me a nice letter of recommendation. But I felt really good doing it. So I'm not mad at all that I did it for free for the longest time. And then it wasn't until so in 2014, I did Beachbody. I'm sure you've heard of it. Everybody probably has, who's an entrepreneur, dabbled in the MLM space. I did Beachbody in 2014 and I loved it. It was actually my first real taste of entrepreneurship. I've got a really funny story about that, especially with Team Beachbody turning into body, turning into nothing. I've got a really crazy story that at some point I'll turn into an episode. It's something that I've always thought of in the back of my mind, that an experience that I had in this world. But it got me really into personal development. It got me really into professional development and starting to think like an entrepreneur. And so that happened in 2014. In 2015, I got my first official layoff. And to say I was traumatized is just understating it. That year leading up to it was pretty good. I had been making a little bit of money with Team Beachbody. I had a 9-to-5. I was speaking at other colleges, which was cool, helping people career-wise, which was my favorite thing to do. I had done a Tough Mudder. It was just a really good year. And then I got laid off, of course, and I was just shook. And I got on unemployment, and because I was told you can't make money while on unemployment, which I guess makes sense, I kind of stopped doing Beachbody. But I really missed entrepreneurship. That was the first time I felt like something was missing in early 2015. I went back to work, got a full-time job through a temp agency. Whoop, whoop, go temp agencies. That's where I got my start too in 9-to-5 life. And I loved it. I drank the Kool-Aid. So I completely quit a lot of the things I was doing side hustle-wise. I quit Team Beachbody, like officially like closed out myself as a partner of theirs in their system. So it was official because I was drinking the Kool-Aid at my 9-to-5. I stopped doing like speaking at colleges as like I was never getting paid for it, so not a big deal, but I stopped doing that. I started speaking as a part of my 9-to-5, which was kind of cool. So I still kind of got the taste of public speaking, coaching. I was in the HR space at this point, so I had a lot of coaching. I was writing training and development programs, so I felt really good about that. I was interviewing people. I literally drank the Kool-Aid at this job, and I was there for about 3.5 years until I got laid off again, and that was in 2018. And so when I do the math and I was laying out the timeline, it It seems every 5 years, there's a big shift in my life and business. And so at first, of course, you know, in 2013, 2014, doing Beachbody, I got laid off in 2015. And then in 2018, had my first big keynote. And so it's baffling to me when I go back and look at that. I took a picture of it. It's like when you have a brick and mortar, like pizza shop, and you frame your first dollar and hang it on the wall. I took a photo of my first paid speaking gig. It was $125 in 2018. Listen, the timing of this is baffling, and I may do a separate episode on this because Jack, my little brother, passed away in February of 2018. This keynote was February 23rd of 2018. And it wasn't a huge keynote. It was a lunch and learn, let's be honest. It was a lunch and learn. I taught people, selfie leadership is my jam. And so I taught selfie leadership. I taught people how to, you know, formulate a morning routine, how to stay focused and motivated at work, how to feel connected to the work we're doing, and then how to be awesome at home, you know, all that stuff. So very life coachy type stuff. And so I got my first paycheck. It was the same month that my brother died. So it leads me to believe this is all very connected. And I'm only connecting the dots in this last like 20 minutes that I am writing down the timeline. It's kind of baffling to me. But I won't get too deep into that connection. I'm going to save that for a whole different episode. And then 2018 was a big year for me earning money during my side hustle years, if you will. I was still a 9-to-5er because I did go from that one layoff. 4 months later, I got another job. And that's when LinkedIn Local happened. So I got paid for speaking. I got paid for LinkedIn Local. I had a lot of sponsorships, and there was money left over that I donated to a nonprofit. So technically, I didn't keep the money, but there was no money that I had to give personally. Everything was covered. So I count that as like a value. I count that as essentially a paid event, my first event that I didn't have to afford the money for. So then, of course, my next actual paid event was a vision board party where I did actually profit. So that was cool. And it was also the first time I charged someone to coach them privately. It was career coaching. And so 2018, we'll say, was the first official time I started making money outside of a 9-to-5 or the MLM. Of course, I didn't LLC myself yet because I didn't really know what that meant. I was so new to the entrepreneurial space, and I got a coach. So when I got my first coach, they were like, you absolutely have to LLC yourself. I'm like, oh, that makes complete sense. So what I did that year, you know, I still filled out a separate form for my taxes. I still paid taxes on the couple $100 that I made, nothing crazy. I think it was less than 1,000. And my tax guy was like, wait, you're a business owner? I'm like, don't judge me, guy. It's over 600. I want to pay taxes on it. I was just so excited. And then from that point forward, I LLC'd myself and it went through officially. Well, I didn't do it myself. I hired a lawyer and I hired somebody to do this. It went through officially while my husband, myself, and my two kids were walking around Disney World. It was December 31st, 2019. And I feel like that's Googleable. So obviously, not that anybody's going to Google if I'm an official business, but that's the date that I was LLC'd officially. So this December 31st, 2024, that just passed, was technically my 5-year anniversary of being an official full-time business owner, because if you remember, I got laid off about 2 months later. So in the beginning, it was slow going, right? Like you can't go from making $1,000 a year to making a full-time income. But little by little, I started doing really cool things. I obviously did a mastermind. I was doing resumes for a while. I did private coaching. I actually launched LinkedIn Growth Academy, which was very exciting over the pandemic. And it's baffling to me to think that as the pandemic was raging and going on, I was starting a business. And I know that it's a lot of people's story. You know, a lot of people lost their business, but a lot of people were starting their business or they were finding ways to make their business thrive. And luckily, because a lot of what I do can be done virtually, I had a really easy time. And another, luckily, quote unquote, for me, was that LinkedIn just started to really gain some momentum and traction with the professional world. And I had been on LinkedIn already for years. LinkedIn, their offices came to visit me at my corporate space and wanted to know what I was doing on the platform that gave me so many followers at the time. And it was, which is funny because now it's just like bot central. I still love me some LinkedIn, but it's not what it used to be. So because I was already very well known in the LinkedIn space for what I did, and I was a host of LinkedIn Local, people came to me to get on LinkedIn. So I did a lot of profiles. I did a lot of like helping people to create a personal brand on the platform, to connect to people. I did a lot of virtual events, helping organizations to stay connected during that time where everybody was virtual. And so we would do women's groups, or we would do different affinity groups I would speak at and have fun events and cocktail parties. I know it sounds crazy. I did LinkedIn Local 52 times over the course of 2 years at the pandemic, as I hosted it every other week virtually because I couldn't have the in-person events anymore. But within And time, of course, you know, the world opened up and things, you know, started happening. I got on more stages. I became a business coach. My LinkedIn side hustle, if you will, of Growth Academy ended up becoming an agency. I had multiple clients that hired me to create content and manage their LinkedIn presence on the platform. And at most, I had 8 at one time, and it became a little too much for me. So I started to dial back the agency model and really went hard, leaning in with the work of a few of my different, I have multiple coaches, with one of my coaches of what feels right. So I had a lot of conversations during that time of what feels right for me. And I knew it wasn't the agency model. I was starting to lose my voice. I did a human design reading. I'm a Manny Jenny, 6'2", for any of you who knows what that means. I needed to really get my voice out in the world again. I was doing a lot of writing for other people, engaging for other people, and it was starting to take a toll on my spirit, if you will. And so I started a podcast. And this is it. Hey, this is my podcast, and I still love her. She's the best. Ah, she's probably like one of the most favorite things that I do. And if you scroll back down to the first episode, which you won't have to scroll far, it's not that many, you'll see me talk about that human design reading and how it turned into a podcast because I started listening to the experts in my world. Because let's be honest, one of the things I learned in business is we may have expertise in what we do, but we are not the expert in everything. So we call in people just like doctors. We call in business or coaching specialists too. So I learned that very early on. This episode though, it's not just supposed to be a timeline of my business. It is a celebration, but I really want to talk about the things I learned in business and maybe some advice to, if I could go back and redo some things, do I regret anything, what I would change, what I would do different, you know, what advice would I give my younger self who was just starting out? And really what I learned, one of the biggest things I learned, is to do what feels right for you. Throughout my time so far, 5 years as an entrepreneur, now I'm celebrating the 5 years as a big thing because they say, and I'm sure you've heard this if you're an entrepreneur, that if you can make it to 5 years, then you're going to make it, then you're good. Same with the podcast. They said if you make it 10 episodes, most podcasts do not last past 10 episodes. They just kind of fizzle out. And clearly here we are. So to me, this says I'm meant to have this podcast and I'm meant to be an entrepreneur. Thank you, Jesus, because I am so not going back to a sad gray cubicle. Or even a corner office. Like, I love me a corner office with a window. I had a few of those. It's just not for me. It was back then. I like I said, I drank the Kool-Aid. I loved my time in the corporate space. Some of it. I'd say about 75% of it I loved. But being an entrepreneur is like being myself. Isn't that funny? That's how I kind of equate it. So anyway, one of the things I learned early on was to do what feels right. and what feels best for yourself and your business. When I was a LinkedIn agency, I mean, I just ended it actually, my last client in December of 2024. So I went from 8 down to 5, down to 3, and then 1. And I kept 1 for about a year, maybe like a half a year, and just because it was easy money, right? I mean, it made a lot of money. That was my six figure, it was one of my six figure businesses was LinkedIn. I still do some LinkedIn stuff, so don't get me wrong. I just don't manage somebody else's profiles anymore for them. I do a lot of other stuff, but we can talk about that later. Feel free to DM me. However, it didn't feel right anymore because I felt like I was losing my voice, and I felt like it was taking over as my job. And so I felt like the LinkedIn agency model that I was working was my 9-to-5, and the coaching, the masterminds, the speaking, the podcast, the things I loved felt like my side hustle. And so it just didn't feel right anymore. And so I spoke to a few of my coaches and I said, how do I kind of release the agency model? And I also didn't want to have a big team. And I knew where I was going, I was going to need to get a team, and I didn't want a team. Not because I don't love teams or I don't love people. I love people and I love teams. And I'm a great manager. I was a great leader back in the day. I taught leadership development, and my next book is Own Your Awesome in Leadership. So trust me, I'm all about being a leader. However, there's different ways to be a leader. We could just kind of table that conversation. You'll read all about it in my next book. Oh, and I became an author too. Obviously, it's part of what I'm meant to do. I swear my voice is all over the place and I'm not stopping. So you do what feels right for you. I realized I didn't want a team. I didn't want the agency model. And I wanted to make money doing the things that I loved. I wanted to wake up every morning and be excited about the work I got to do. I didn't want to get up in the morning and run to do somebody else's work. It felt like a job. So do what feels right and feels best for you and your business. Now, with that said, there are cycles and seasons of business. There are cycles and seasons of pleasure, results, offers, types of clients. And I really understand that I couldn't just do what felt right at certain periods of time. Certain periods of time, I needed to make money. And I made a lot of money being a LinkedIn agency. And I was so grateful for that. And I wanted to keep making money, and I was not mad at making money. And I had a great life and lifestyle, and I still do. But I don't think I was quite ready to figure out how to change that. I was a little stuck in the guarantee, if you will, the easy money. And because it is easy for me, I write content all day, every day, even though like there's not even enough social platforms for me to put all this content out. I just have so many pieces of content in my brain. I'm sure I could batch it and just blast it out on Instagram and YouTube and all those other places. But I feel like to be strategic for myself, I'm doing it purposefully, right? I'm doing it very purposefully to honor what I want to put out in this world. And I don't want to just put out stuff just to put it out. So anyway, I did it for clients because I had so much to give, so many ideas I was giving them to my clients. And so some of my clients got really good stuff. they all got good stuff, but some of them got like the juicy stuff, the stuff that I would write for myself. And I would find myself a little jealous of their content because, and they'd get so much traction in clients and business from it. I'd be like, damn, that's my content. So anyway, it just stopped feeling right for that moment. And so I made the change. Something else that I learned in business is to charge your worth. Now, this one is something we hear all the time. And I also think there's a little asterisk that goes with it because sure, charge your worth. But what does that actually mean? Like what the market is, you know, what the market price is for your services, what people are already paying, of course, what they're willing to pay, what you paid for college or your personal development, and you might get recoup some of that money. Like, what does it mean to charge your worth? And so this to me came back again to a feeling. I learned this from my intuitive coach. I would say, let's say for content was, you know, $500, and I was hating doing it. I was like, this is crazy. It's not even worth the $500 anymore. That means you're not charging enough. up it to some crazy number, $5,000. $5,000 a week for content. All right, that sounds magical, but it just doesn't sound realistic. Like, it doesn't sound fair. So, okay, that's not the number. So then you meet somewhere in the middle. So for my agency, I would charge $2,000 a month plus a sign-on design. That's a whole different thing. But the monthly retainer was $2,000 a month. And that felt good. That felt like, yeah, this is right. I started to get to where it wasn't feeling right anymore. So when I originally charged, it was $1,000. Then I moved it to $1,500. Then I moved it to $2,000. And then at that point, sure, I could have moved it to $2,500. I could have moved it to even more. But at that point, I didn't want to do the work anymore. So charging my worth was, I had experience writing content at different levels for different industries. They were getting results. I could track their results. I had tons of testimonials. And so I came up with this formula for every 4 clients. Now, I heard it before as 8, and I don't like that. That's too many clients. So for me, every 4 clients that paid the $1,500, I would move it to the $2,000. So I had, at that point, more than 4 clients on the $2,000. I didn't want to move it up to $2,500 because I didn't want to do the work anymore. So to me, charging your worth is charging a price that's fair. You're not the most expensive. You're not the cheapest, but it doesn't even involve others. And I think that's the difference. It wasn't charge what the going rate is. It's called charge your worth. What is it worth to you to do this work? And I think that's a huge lesson I learned in business. And that's what I realized. It's worth this much to me. And if somebody didn't want to pay it, that's okay. I wasn't going to do the work. I wasn't for them. And I would refer them to somebody either less expensive or somebody who did half the amount of work that I did. So that was a big lesson. So doing what feels right, and then also charging what felt right too, charging my worth, if you will, based on what it was worth to me. Another thing that I learned in business in this last 5 years was to release the outcomes. Now, that is something that we hear in sales. Maybe you hear it. I don't know, but I've been saying it about sales for years. And this also rings true in life, right? Not just business. We can push so hard because we have a goal. So we know what the outcome could be. I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to make $1 million in my business this year. I want to speak on 20 stages. Like, those are the outcomes. However, if you release them and think more of, I'm doing the things that could get me to that end goal. And for me, it's very spiritual. It's very, I trust the universe. I trust that God will put me on the path to those 20 clients, to that whatever that goal is. But I'm going to release that and just focus on my one step in front of the other. What do I have to do today to get on more stages? What do I have to do today to feel my best physically? What do I have to do today to get on more podcasts, to be interviewed more? What do I have to do today to not achieve the goal, but to move towards the goal? And then what happens is if we keep moving towards that goal, we're going to magnetize ourselves to more of that energy and more stages, more weight loss, more collaborations, more podcast interviews, more whatever you're looking for is gonna be attracted to you. It's gonna come your way. But if you hold so tight to, I have to make this much money, you're gonna be obsessed with that much money. And when you make, say next week, you say you want to make 6 figures in your business, and you're so obsessed with six figures, $100,000, and you sign a client for $50, you're gonna be like, oh, so far away. I'm never going to hit $100,000 because this one only paid me $50. Granted, let's do the math and figure out what that means. And are you charging your... If you're not charging the right amount, of course, that's something we could always hash out. And maybe you don't want to charge $50, but are you going to be so disappointed in that, having that client at that $50 level, that it's going to start to repel clients coming in? So releasing the outcomes, I want you to work smarter, not harder, when it comes to this too. So if you want to earn 6 figures, you could have a $50 offer, But if I was working with you, we're probably going to come up with other offers that complement that or at other levels. And if you're a business owner already, you know what I'm talking about. Holding on to that, I have to make $100,000, and it just seems so far away from that 50, if you will. So, or even if you made 5,000, you're like, oh my God, I got to sign 20 clients to get to my, you know, six figure mark. Like, how am I ever going to sign 20 clients? Don't think of the, like, you obsess so much. Well, at least this is what I did for a while. Obsessed so much about the outcomes. You're not giving the accolades and the celebration to everything along the way. You forget that the journey is what's going to get you to that outcome. So release the outcomes, focus on the path, the journey in front of you, one step in front of the other. What do you have to do today? It made a huge world of difference in my business. One more thing I learned that when I sat down and really thought about it is that it's all connected. Mind, body, spirit, business. The minute I made God my board of director, my head of my board, if you will. I think I've told you before that my divine board of directors consisted of God, Jesus, my vision board, my brothers, and any ancestors or guides that circle my spirit that are around me, because it's all connected. What I consume mentally, TV shows, podcasts, books, whatever, filter into my spirit, into my soul, which makes me move my body or not move my body. And then what I do with my body factors into my mind, into my spirit. And all of that is connected to the outcomes of my business. I learned very early on that creating a foundation for ourselves, the business of me, was just as important, if not more important, than the business of my money, the business of my offers, the business of my clients. Like, all of that is very important. I would not make any money if I didn't have clients or offers. However, I definitely would not make any money if I was a mess. So getting my mind and my body and my spirit 100% where it needs to be actually quantum leaped my business in 2024. You guys, if you're listening, you've been with me for a while. If not, you know, feel free to scroll back. There's not a million episodes. You can totally catch up, and probably a long weekend. But you will realize that there are certain things I've done in my quote unquote business that leveled me up in a way that didn't compare to when I leveled myself up personally. My spiritual game is so strong this year. My physical game is so strong right now. It's going to get even stronger. I got a whole different episode to talk to you about my experience with my functional doctor and how he's got me eating nothing. No, I'm kidding. I'm eating from the earth, people. Oh my God, don't even get me started. But I learned that, like, being healthy directly ties to the outcomes of my business. So if I'm releasing the outcomes, what I'm focusing on is the process of getting healthy, mind, body, spirit, and that it's all connected. And I even learned this more deeply when I was writing out my notes for today, this timeline of every 5 years, something changing and something magical happening and leveling up and personal trauma, then it's attached to professional, like, upgrade, if you will. It's baffling to me, like, the ups and the downs and how they're each connected side by side every 5 years. Now, I'm not saying, like, it's going to happen to you every 5 years. I'm just saying, write out a timeline in your business and see what went down. It's baffling to look at. It's so cool, actually. A few other little things I learned that are more businessy, if you will, were that credit cards and loans are your friends. People want to invest in your business, and you're going to need money to do that. I just last year got a company card, and it gave me the peace of mind I needed to make some investments that I made, and I couldn't be more grateful. My credit's through the roof. I feel fantastic. I feel like a big girl in business. Money sometimes can be a block for us in business because, you know, I have some money trauma apparently, and I, for the longest time, did not track my money. I mean, it would come tax time. I'd have to like scurry for information and where I wrote on a Post-it money I brought in this month. And blah, I still use Post-its, don't judge me, but I have other ways of tracking too. But it was so juvenile because I was scared. So track your money, people. Track it in, track it out. Do not let the fear stop you. It was one of my long-term business coaches that finally got me on track with doing what I need to do to treat my business like a business. And it was game-changing. Information's powerful, right? So obviously the bigger power is what you do with that information, but even having the information really does level you up. And that's happening now with my health too, which is kind of cool. I've also learned that having a coach, or many coaches if you will, or a mentor is key. You're not going to get to the next level on your own. And I'm not saying that because trust me, I studied motivation, life fulfillment, the science of happiness. I am 100% a fan of life coaching ourselves. Self-leadership is my jam, is my foundation. It's my biggest keynote. It's my biggest workshop. I absolutely love self-leadership. It all starts within. It really, really, truly does, I promise. However, we may not get to the level we're trying to get to if we're only relying on ourselves. So I hate the term self-made. It drives me absolutely bonkers. I see it on t-shirts. I see it on coffee mugs and self-made this, self-made that. I'm not self-made. I'm not. Because even if I didn't, I don't have a team. I am a solopreneur. I had a VA for a while. She was fabulous. I'll get another one soon. So if you're a VA, feel free to DM me. I absolutely love having help, but I am essentially a solopreneur in business. I have, you know, a website girl. I've got somebody who helped me with Instagram for a while. I've got coaches, but there is just me doing the work. It's just me and my business. And that could make people think I'm a self-made entrepreneur, but I'm not. I have God with me. I've got my divine board of directors, of course. I've got my husband. I've got my son, my daughter, my friends, the outer family members that support me, buy my books, listen to my podcast, love on me. I've got people that I randomly see out and about at networking events, loving on me. I got photographers. Like, I can't do any of this by myself. So I'm not mad at those who say they're self-made. I get it. More power to you. But I don't think you can do this on your own. I 100% urge you to invest in coaching at the very least, or get a mentor. If you don't have a mentor, get one. If you even be a mentor too, that helped me too. Being a mentor was kind of cool. But it wasn't until I invested in a business coach, a long-term business coach, and then an intuitive coach, and my human design coach. Like, there's so many different coaches that I've invested in over the years. Some gave me really cool strategy for one day, little strategy session. That's why I offer mine, because I know how valuable a one-time strategy session can be to get you really clear, really focused on one task. I've done sprints. I love it. 6, 10 weeks coaching sessions, you know, get in, get out, gives you a little bit of longevity to work through some things, but you don't need them forever. I've done 6-month masterminds. I've done year-long programs. They're all good. And I needed them all at the times I signed up for them. I don't need a year-long program right now. Now I need little sprints. I may need a year-long program again at some point, but I find that what we need for ourselves will be drawn into us. I'm magnetizing what it is when I need it at the right time. And so what I'm calling in right now are kind of like retreats. So I'll be doing a few little retreats for myself and I, you know, with other people. So I'm not self-made. I don't claim to be. I find it hard that anybody who's this successful or beyond has done it on their own. So that's one thing that I learned, that coaching is absolutely crucial if you want to sustain your business. I've been in business 5 years. I've had coaches probably 3 or 4 of the 5 years. And the ones I didn't, one of the times I didn't have a coach, it was a little more difficult. So if you want to make it a little easier to be successful, have somebody help you do it. You can be successful as a solopreneur. You don't need a large team. Granted, I couldn't really work out the agency model by myself, which was fine. I didn't want it anyway. But I can be successful influencer style, if you will. I'm sure there's a better name for it, but I'm my own person, and I just happen to hire outside people to help me do the things that I do. But you can still be successful. There are ways to scale, even if you're by yourself. I've seen many entrepreneurs come and go in my 5 years, and this is something that it's not a lesson that I learned. It's just an observation, if you will. I've seen many entrepreneurs on LinkedIn, in my co-working communities, in my coaching containers, like LinkedIn gurus or coaches, speakers, influencers, go back to the 9-to-5 space for whatever reason, whether they want a steady paycheck, less stress or pressure, entrepreneurship may not have been for them, or PTO and benefits. Like, I definitely miss PTO and benefits. Like, that's nice to have some health insurance, right? Some 401ks and such. Like, those things are important. I understand that. So I've seen people come and go, but I got to tell you, there's nothing that makes me feel more stable and safe than knowing my success rides on me and my God and my activities, because there's nothing like, I got laid off 4 times, people. How stable is that? You know what I mean? Like, so to me, yeah, I loved having a paycheck every 2 weeks. I loved it. I loved a 401k. I loved a Christmas fund. I loved all of that. I loved bonuses. Like, but we can create that for ourselves. So if you're a 9-to-5er, I'm not trying to tell you to leave, but I'm telling you, I'm not going back. Mark my word, friends. So in 5 years of business, do I have any regrets? Not a one. I kind of regret not doing it sooner, but I believe that everything happens and lays out exactly the way it's supposed to. So I have no regrets. I don't think I have any redos. I would go back and tell myself some things. I'd have her listen to this episode. I would tell her that you can absolutely do it. I would go back and tell myself to do it scared. Like, don't be scared of uncertainty, because you can create certainty for yourself. Definitely through my faith. That's how I do it. Not everyone's going to get it. I would definitely tell my 5 years ago self, I'd look her right in the little cute little blue eyes and be like, girl, they're not all going to support you. And some of the people who are your friends or confidants today probably won't come with you. And that's okay. They're not going to support you. They don't understand your decisions. They just won't get it. And that's okay, because you do, right? You get it. That's what I'd say. And she'd be like, yeah, I get it. I love having conversations with my past self. I would 100%, and I've said this earlier, grow the business of you. I would tell my younger self that you are the most important asset to your business. Not your content, not your bank account, not this credit card. You, at your healthiest, mind, body, spirit, are the most important part of your business. And creating that solid foundation is what's going to speed everything up. It's going to quantum leap you, if you will, into the future, the most successful, highest version of yourself. So get you right first. I would 100% tell myself to invest, collaborate, network, show up, not more, not in certain places, but where it feels right and when it feels right. Trusting your intuition, trusting your gut, trusting that sixth sense that God gave us as women, trust that, because that is what's going to give you the right answers. That's what's going to move you into the right direction. Trusting that this entrepreneurship is for you. That's probably the biggest thing I would say to my younger self or to any newbie entrepreneurs, is that this is for you. Trust that. You know it deep inside. Meditate on it, pray on it, whatever you got to do. Like, this is for you. It's on your path because it's a part of your plan. So trust that. And I would also tell myself to put God in your business way sooner than you did. Put God in your relationships, put God in your business. He is all up in my business. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Oh, and for anybody who's curious, I never had a business plan and I still don't. I'm okay with that. It's working out very well for me. I do sit down and plan out my year. I do strategize quarterly, monthly, weekly, but I never had an official business plan, and you don't need one either. So surround yourself with the most like-minded, like-spirited entrepreneurs. I would tell myself to balance the feminine and the masculine. Back then, I didn't even know what that meant. Now I do. And let me tell you, it is crucial. This 5 years in business has been so, I want to say magical, but sometimes has been traumatizing. Let's be honest. Like, we're not living our best life because it's all good. It's all rainbows and unicorns. Trust me, I love a good rainbow and unicorn. I love a rainbow on a unicorn. And I live in the world of confetti and tutus and magic wands and sparkles. Like, that is my world. However, that isn't balanced with the energy, the masculine side of the energy of business. And so you can be a business owner and be all of that, and you can be happy and you can have your best life with all of that. But finding and embodying and embracing the darkness as much as the light is what really will take me from the success of the first 5 years to the success of my next 5 years. And I cannot wait to see what God has in store for me and my business. And I can't wait to see what you have in store for you. So if you're a newbie entrepreneur, hello, welcome to this wonderful roller coaster ride. I want to hear all about your business. Shoot me a DM on LinkedIn or Instagram. Thank you for those who have already been sending in your word of the year. I absolutely love seeing them come in. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the last episode was word of the year. One word to rule them all. Take a listen. Let me know what your word for this year is if you do that. Send me a DM. Let me know what's going on. What's your business all about? How are you going to make it? Got any questions? I'm happy to help. If you're a mid-ish entrepreneur, which I feel like I am, I feel like I may even still be a newbie if you think about it. But if you're a seasoned entrepreneur, you've been doing it for a while and you're loving this episode because you're like, yep, been there, girl. I got some things I learned too. I want to hear them. What have you learned in your experience as an entrepreneur? I'd love to talk about it. All right. And I'm not sure if you noticed, but if you're following me on LinkedIn, you will notice that my Awesome Conversations live LinkedIn show is back, baby. My first episode is January 29th. It's Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. It's live on my LinkedIn page. So find me on LinkedIn. Let's connect if we're not already. My first guest is my coach, my intuitive coach and manifesting mentor, Jess Perillo. You've heard me talk about her many times on this podcast. I'm actually going to turn this LinkedIn live show that I have, take the audio and make it podcast episodes. So that pretty much means I have guests on my podcast now. Whoop, whoop. And Jess will be my first one. And if you want to be one of the following ones, shoot me a DM. Let's have a conversation. Tell me all about you. Maybe I'll have you on my LinkedIn live show and on this podcast. All right, friends, thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate you, love you. I would also love and appreciate it if you would give this a 5-star review and share it with your network. You're amazing. Thanks for being awesome. And until next time, keep being awesome.